Madison. Oh, it's so good.
Back post, and Payne gives Mark Madison the 1-0 lead. Enjoy this moment, Stephen Payne.
The Pink Men don't quit.
What is up, Flock and friends? It is I, your host, Rob Chappell, with another special off-season edition of Talkin' Flock, your full Mingo podcast. We're coming to you today. It is Tuesday, March 5th. Earlier today, the USL held a preseason kickoff press conference with Jeremy Allenbaugh, the president of the USL Championship, and Lee O'Neill, president of USL League One. And didn't break a lot of news, but we didn't think they were going to, right? They're not going to make a huge announcement days before the season gets underway, which happens this Saturday for both USL League One Championship and USL League One. And we're very excited about that. But they just wanted to kind of set the table. And they had about two dozen of us reporters and podcasters and other weirdos on the call. I did get a few questions from the Twitter users, and I was able to get a couple of those in. They didn't do the only one question per person, so make a good thing that a lot of press conferences do. They let us ask a couple questions. But here's my the things that jumped out to me. They didn't make a lot of news, and we didn't think they would. Right? They're not going to announce something huge days before the season starts. But they did have some interesting things to say, one of which is Jeremy mentioned that he gets annoyed when soccer people talk about markets. He would rather refer to them as communities, right? That's right up my alley as a community journalist. Soccer is about community. It's not about the market. I think that's a fundamental attitude that differs between USL and MLS. There was a lot of MLS hate in this press conference. The guys from USL were very diplomatic about it, but there were some loaded questions. But that's one of the differences, right? Like, we're not talking about size of market. We're talking about size of community and whether a community can handle, can support a Premier Division club. We'll get to that. We'll get to the whole Premier thing in a minute. But I thought that was an interesting thing that he said. A couple things that you've been asking about that we want to talk about. Promotion relegation is still on the table. It wasn't the first question. We thought it would be the first question. It's always the first question. It took like a half hour to get there, but somebody finally asked. And he said it is, it's still being discussed. His quote was almost daily. Somebody's talking about ProRel almost daily, either internally at the league or with owners or, you know, with supporters groups, whatever, which means somebody's asking about it every day, right? When's it going to happen? But that it would represent such a monumental change for the sport that it really has to be done right. And it's been talked about for years, and it's going to be talked about for years more before they can actually pull the trigger on it. They've got to build a pyramid. Right now we don't have a pyramid. We have an inverted pyramid. Or we have like an hourglass, right? We have like 24 teams at the top, 12 in the middle, and, you know, 87 on the bottom. And, you know, that's, you just can't do that. That's just not, you can't pro-rail that way. And they also have the stadiums figured out. Like, you have to have proper stadiums across the entire league before you do pro-rail. But anyway, point is, it's still on the table, still being talked about. The thing that's no longer being talked about is a shift to the European schedule. Jeremy made it clear, he was very quick when somebody asked about it. He's like, well, that was before my time. Like, it used to be talked about. Like, people talked about in the past couple of years shifting to that European schedule where you'd go from fall to spring. The excuse was to align with transfer markets because they want USL clubs to be able to sell players to European clubs. And that's difficult to do when the schedules aren't matched. Jeremy and Lee both said, you know, that was before our time. We're no longer talking about that. We can solve that problem in other ways, that transfer issue. There are more sophisticated ways to handle that issue if it comes up, in the rare instance that it comes up. So they're going to keep the men on a summer schedule. However, and one thing I didn't get a chance to ask, and I really kind of wanted to, and I wish I had. So if you're not doing it for the men, why are you making the women do it? Why are you making the women play in Wisconsin in February if you're not going to do that for the men? And we'll ask the next time we see them. As we predicted, as everybody thinks is the case, the USL League One Cup, the in-season tournament, is not going to stay in League One. They didn't say a lot of specifics, but they did say that, you know, the point was to get it launched. They want to do an in-season tournament. They want to do a cup to keep the league schedule balanced, but still have another piece of more games, more home games, and to have another piece of hardware to win. So they wanted to get it underway with the idea that then they'll learn from this year and then they'll expand it both directions. So it could end up being a USL Cup, including League Two, League One, and Championship, and eventually Premier. We'll get to that again in a minute. The other thing, we talked about TV. I used to work in politics, and they used to say, if it's not on TV, it didn't happen. Sports is on TV. This is one of the reasons NISA can never get traction, because it's not on TV. You can't just sit and watch it at your house. You have to go to games. Going to games is really important, especially for a team like Madison. We have a wonderful fan base and a great game day experience. However, when they're out of town, like if I can't watch the game on TV when they're out of town, I'm going to be less likely to go to the game when they're in town. And I'm certainly not going to talk about them. The economy right now, as we all know, it's an attention economy. You have to have attention on your product to make it sustainable. And this new TV deal is going to do that. And it's going to ramp that up, right? So we've been on ESPN Plus for 5 years, and uses USL League One for more than that with Championship, obviously. When they announced that CBS was going to carry 100 games, I genuinely thought, okay, this is no big deal. I think this is 400 games across the season. They're going to take 100 of them, put them on Paramount Plus, which actually is a pretty good place to watch soccer, right? That's where I watch. You watch NWSL there. You watch the Women's Gold Cup is on Paramount Plus, USA versus Canada coming Wednesday, right? Don't miss that. And then hopefully USA versus Brazil or Mexico on Sunday, all on Paramount Plus. Champions League is on Paramount Plus. CBS is really investing in soccer. And the fact that they're grabbing 100 USL matches, I thought it was just going to add to their catalog. Richard Hall on Twitter suggested that I should ask, is there going to be a weekly USL talk show on CBS or on ESPN? And I kind of expanded that because I know there's not going to be a weekly talk show, but I did think it was a good question. And I wanted to ask, are they going to do more than broadcast the games? Are they going to, the Golasso show is a great soccer talk show. Are they going to start talking about USL on that show? Are they going to bring some attention? Are they going to create conversations and tell stories about USL soccer on CBS? And the answer is yes, they've already started. I didn't know that. I clearly wasn't paying enough attention. They had Ben Pierman from Charleston Battery, the head coach of Charleston Battery, already on the Golasso show last week, or maybe this week. And then within the next week, they're going to have Todd Denovit from the president of Sacramento Republic. And there's going to be more of that coming. So when you watch Golasso show, it's going to be MLS, and it's going to be USL. And that is fantastic. That is big. And USL presidents was talking about the CBS deal as a partnership. So it seems like CBS understands the value of lower level soccer, of building that pyramid, right? Of getting the sort of grassroots, getting down into the grassroots of American soccer. And it's going to happen. And that's going to be great. Speaking of Premier, Jonathan Tannenwald from the Philadelphia Inquirer asked he basically made the assertion that the USL in many ways is better than MLS. And are you USL people, are you willing to say that? And they weren't quite willing to say that. It doesn't matter if we say we're better. We need players to want to play for us in our league. We need fans to want to watch our league. We need coaches to want to coach in our league, right? Now, depends what you mean by better, of course. You're not going to get a better product on the field. The USL Championship this is in the CBA, in the current players' collective bargaining agreement, the USL Championship maximum benefit spend, $2.1 million for the entire team. At the USL League One level is $1.4 million. Maximum benefit spend, that's your salary cap, basically. You are not going to create an MLS caliber roster for $2 million. It's just not going to happen. So the talent on the field, the speed of play on the field, you know, it's just not going to be the same. But if you're talking about better, if by better, you mean more authentic, more independent, more connected to the community, yeah, in many ways, USL is better. More connected to the history of United States soccer, right? We know what that's about. You know, more if better means willing to play in the domestic cup competition, then yeah, USL is much better than MLS right now. But they also in that conversation, and it's asked me another question, was are you going to seek Division I sanctioning on the men's side? And they didn't quite say yes, but they didn't say no either. What they said was they're working with ownership groups and looking at stadiums and kind of looking at increasing standards. Now, USSF requirements for Division I sanctioning are that a certain percentage, I believe it's 75% of your teams have to be in markets of more than 1 million people, of a population of more than a million. And I don't know where USL is on that right now. I could probably look it up. Maybe I'll nerd out tonight and look it all up. But I don't think USL would qualify at that standard at this moment. That doesn't mean they couldn't. They also talked about, you know, coexisting with MLS and you know, Charlotte. When they get an MLS team in Charlotte, the Charlotte Independents had to self-relegate. San Diego Loyal just went out of business. But there's no reason. You know, you look elsewhere in the world, you know, London, city the size, you know, bigger than, you know, sort of comparable to New York, I guess, has 12 teams at various levels. Six or seven Premier League teams? Why couldn't New York? Why couldn't DC? Why couldn't Orlando have more than one Division I team from different leagues? You know, that's the thought. In practical reality, may or may not actually work. But point is, the idea of a USL Premier Division, which was first floated to me by Peter Wilt in like January 2019, seems possible, and it remains on the table. The last thing I'll mention is we talked a little bit about the USL Forward, the DEI initiative, whereby Madison was one of five clubs to get a preseason assistant coach, which was basically to take coaches, talented, sort of young, up-and-coming coaches from basically who aren't white guys, right, who are people of color, who are women, give them a relatively brief exposure to the USL coaching ecosystem, right? Where they can be with a club for a couple of weeks, maybe run a couple of training sessions and just kind of, and not only get that experience for a couple of weeks, but that also builds your network, right? Soccer is a small world. And when you're the coach that we got, Troy McCarroll, is also head coach at Des Moines Menace right now. So he's got a busy season, but you know, he not only probably learned a lot from Matt Glazer and his staff, but also like now he's got a guy he can call. Right? He's got a reference. He's got, and Matt knows him. And when Matt needs a new assistant, maybe he'll go to him. So it's all about that networking. It's all about creating equal opportunity, not just necessarily giving giveaways or anything like that. It's just about giving equal opportunities. But when they announced that last year, or at the end of late last year, They made it clear that it was going to grow. It's going to be five assistant coaches placed with five clubs this season, but then it would grow. But they didn't say exactly how it would grow. So we got to ask about that, and we got a little more clarity. And not only is it going to be more teams in the future, basically they're going to get some check-ins over the course of the season Are they going to get some sort of nurturing, I guess, and some mentorship? But also at the end of the season, in like September, they're actually going to bring those coaches to USL headquarters and spend 2 or 3 days with them and talk about sort of the business side of it. Not necessarily running a business, but like you, how you as a coach can deal with your board of directors and kind of deal with your club chairman, how you should deal with agents, how you can deal with ownership groups, right? Because when you're, you know, when you're at the Des Moines Menace, you know, you're not dealing with high power agents, really, right? So that's you're learning the on the field stuff, but there's a lot more to this game than that. So that additional training and stuff, I think this is a really cool idea, and I'm glad to hear that. So that's it. Those are my key things. Unfortunately, the league didn't want us to just broadcast the entire press conference, which would have been easy to do. I understand that it wasn't. It wasn't held with that in mind. They did say we could use clips, but only if we had them approved first, and that's not going to happen. You know that. You know I'm a journalist. And I'm not going to submit an on-the-record press conference clips for pre-approval. That's just not how it works. And I told the league that, and very politely. But, you know, that aside, PR people do that. PR people almost always ask to see an article before it's published or to hear a clip before it's published, and the answer is always no. But besides that little thing, big props to the league and to Tyler and Will and the folks in the comms office for having that press conference, because they didn't have to. The league, generally speaking, is pretty open and pretty, you know, access is never a problem. The way it is in some other soccer leagues. Speaking of, you know, ways that USL is better than MLS, access for us journalists and podcasters and weirdos is just far, far better, as far as I can tell, in USL, and particularly in Ford Madison. Thanks to Connor and Kylie and Kyler and all the folks at the Ford Madison front office who are always responsive to us and give us access. So we appreciate that very much. We are still thinking about working on a sort of a season preview roundtable. I have asked to have Lee O'Neill come on. The USL League office is going to work on scheduling a chat between me and Lee O'Neill, the president of USL League One. We'll see if we can make that happen soon. And if nothing else, on the week of March 16th, the week after our first match at Tormenta, I will be back with Alex Alvarado to break it all down, and we'll be with you every week the rest of the season. All right. Have a good week, folks. We'll see you soon.